This episode of TMS is brought to you by you. That's right, listeners and viewers like you. Head over to patreon.com/TMS and show your support today. Coming up on TMS, that was a lot of beef.
Time for your mugshot.
Two rings, one marriage.
You don't look like Captain Kirk.
I want to die like I lived.
How many gallstones did you have removed?
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Big bro, he shouts like we do. He's the same kind as we are, shouting for anger.
We're not alike. I'm a hero, and I'm done.
How can you tell?
Hail, alien duelist!
Those bastards are turning back! This is The Morning Stream!
Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for May 31st, 2018. It's a little after 9 a.m. in the Mountain Time Zone. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Let's say goodbye to May. Goodbye, May. Goodbye.
Well, today's your last day to do it. It's the 31st, right. So get up all in there. It's I kind of hate the rollover of the months because all the bills come due and you gotta, deal with things. I don't like dealing with stuff.
It's always send out invoices day for me, for freelance clients.
Yeah, I have the same deal. Although I always do it on the first, so tomorrow's all invoice day. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's part of the life that we live.
Last of May. Outdoor ends today.
There you go. Hey, I got some good news.
Do you?
On that front. Yeah, it's because...
I don't know. I don't know if that's good news related to Jonathan Colton, good news related to May, or good news related to outdoor frolicking.
Well, it's got to be May. Okay. Here's the deal. 1497 is today's episode. 1497. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, not connected to any sort of date of any controversial historical person.
So, no, 1497, not at all.
Nope.
Nothing at all controversial about that date.
Nope. I mean, I'm sure by then Columbus was eating the heart out of innocent victims. I don't know. I have no idea because I haven't looked a lot of it up. But
it's correct. He had switched to vampirism in 1497. That's absolutely correct.
He was a vampire cannibal, or as we'd say, vaminal.
Yes, Canempire.
Canempire's better. Canempire. It's pretty good, actually. That's not a bad name. That's a great band name, isn't it?
Canempire. I don't know. We'll workshop that one.
I played keytar for Canempire back in the day.
Mm.
Yeah.
They were sure. Really,
they were into what I was bringing. Anyway, so what was my point with all that? Oh, because we're almost 1,500. This is like Monday's show will be 1,500, I think. Monday or Tuesday? No.
Tuesday
show will be 1,500.
Depends on if we do a show tomorrow and if we do a show Monday. You know, who knows what could happen?
Who knows? Someone could, die or something.
I could fall off my bike and mm-hmm. drown.
That's right.
In the lake.
Yeah, you could end up like that guy in Breaking Bad that was, what was his name? Beneke? Remember he tried to escape and slammed into that furniture and broke his neck? Remember that? You don't want that.
Oh, yeah.
You
barely.
You don't want that in your life.
No.
No. I think it goes without saying that we don't want Brian to fall off and hurt his neck.
My gosh, who remembers Beneke?
I just saw that series, so it's fresh.
No, that's true. At least it wasn't. You could be worse. You could have an ATM dropped on your head. How's that? All right.
Good point. Hey, see, look at you remembering things. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of iconic. It's hard to forget.
Right.
So, anyways, 1500 is coming up quick, and I've got good news. And the good news I'm here to spread today is. You can head over to frogpants.com/store, and when you get there, you will be faced with one reality and one reality alone, and that is the TMS 1500 commemorative mug. Limited edition is now available, and when I say limited, I mean it. It's not there forever. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, because it's going fast.
That's right. There will never be another 1,500th episode of TMS.
That's right. And And if you bought the 500 and you bought the 1,000, you need this to complete your collection or to further it, because my guess is we'll do a 2,000 as well and other stuff.
I think we'll do a 2,000. I think when we do 2,500, we will also craft, we'll have Mark Spagnolo craft a very special wooden collector's case for all of your mugs.
Oh my gosh. How awesome would that be? Seriously.
How cool would that be, actually? Oh. Now that I say it out loud, it's like, oh, that would be pretty dang cool.
That's so cool. So
little hooks in the top that you can hook each mug on so that, you know, it's not like a closed glass kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You take those mugs out and drink out of them.
Yeah, totally. Oh no, I absolutely would want to drink out. I drink out of mine. In fact, oh, it's over there now. But I have my 500 mugs just sitting over on the other side of the room. I have 1,000 mug upstairs. I love these. They're great. And it's also part of the launch or the relaunch of the new store. And the reason it's a new store is because now it's you're checking out everything on the actual Frogpants site. It's not taking you somewhere else. You don't even leave for checkout. You got secure server Frogpants domain stuff going on. It's kind of awesome. So head in there, add it to your cart, and collect it today. Again, frogpants.com/store. There's also a blog post about it. You can add it to the cart right there if you want. Whatever you want to do, it's right there for you. And it's this new design, and I'm really happy with it.
And it looks just like this mug, except it's a whole different design. But there's still a hole on the top, and there's still a handle on the side.
Yeah.
Because you need both of those things.
I feel like that's mandatory. I feel like we can't get away with...
mug requirements. We had to look on Wikipedia, actually, to see what the requirements to call something a mug were.
Right. We don't want OSHA law.
No, exactly. Like, oh, put the hole on the bottom. Let's be different. Let's actually, you know, switch things up.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, what could it hurt to put a hole in the side? I'm sure it'll still work the way it's supposed to.
Right. Handle on top, hole on the side. Yeah. Why aren't people doing that?
I don't know.
We have to follow actual mug requirements.
Isn't this true of society? We get locked into what we think is the way to do things, but really we should be putting a hole in the side and a handle on the top?
Exactly.
I mean, what are we, people? Are we immovable in our ways?
Break the chains that bind you, mugs.
They'll never take our freedom. All right, frogpants.com/store is where you want to go for that. All right, couple of questions for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe one's related to the other, now that I think about it.
All right.
Is it normal to eat half a roast in one sitting?
Yes, if it's a roast Cornish game hen.
Okay, what if it's a...
or a roast small turkey.
what if it's a beef variety roast? And what if it was like this, about this big?
Yeah, by the way, you're not sending me video. I don't know if
I didn't know that. Let me do that. Because me holding up a hand and showing you a size is only good if I'm sending you
video. I've enjoyed looking at myself for the last 6 minutes, but now I want to look at you.
So, this big, Brian.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, okay.
About that thick, too.
If your sentence begins with, is it okay to eat... ... then chances are the answer is going to be no. Like,
okay.
Is it okay to eat 14 caterpillars? No, it's probably not going to be okay to eat 14 caterpillars. You have to ask.
Yeah. It's about a half a pound.
No.
It might have been a pound.
Yeah, it's probably a pound.
So it's in
that's like a roast this big is probably going to be a 2-pounder. Unless you turn it sideways and it becomes invisible.
Yeah. It wasn't cut that thin, I can promise you that. So I got in the fridge yesterday. It was lunch. I'd worked out earlier. Mm-hmm. Starving. Yeah. Skipped breakfast thinking, you know.
Sure. Right.
I don't have another thing for a bit here. I'm gonna eat something.
As long as you worked out and you skipped breakfast, then it's totally okay to eat a pound of red meat.
Yeah, a pound of freaking roasted. Now, keep in mind, it's a very tender, slow-cooked, all-day, kind of in-the-pot sort of meat. So it wasn't like, you know, some really chewy steak or anything like that. Like, this is a falling-off-the-fork kind of soft meat.
Nice, nice.
So that probably helped me justify it.
Probably helped a little bit, but it didn't. I don't think it made it any less... red meat ear.
Yeah. Well, let me make it a little bit. I'll make it a little bit worse for you then.
Sure.
Put it out on a plate. Popped it in the microwave.
Sriracha.
Hold on.
Right, you go.
We're getting there. We're actually getting. You're closer than you think.
No.
So I put it in the microwave. I crank it up for a minute. All I need is a minute.
Tell me you smothered it with country gravy.
No, not yet. Oh, that sounds good. So good.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
You're not supposed to think that.
Oh, all right. Sounds really good. I even like fake gravy, like right out of the powder. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I try not to do it, though. But anyway, so I put in the thing for a minute. Beep. And it goes for a minute. And about 45 seconds in, I hear, boom, some kind of pop in there. And I opened it up and like a big fat tumor on the side of this thing had exploded.
Right.
But I'm not going to eat that part, right?
No, no, of course not. No.
Anyway, I get it out. I plop it on a plate and I think to myself, I could probably just eat this. And so I smothered it in kimchi.
Okay.
I then put, and some real authentic stuff we got from the Asian market. And then I put on top of that a bunch of sweet pickles, the kind of the sliced sweet pickles, the spears rather. And I laid that all over it. And then I put mustard on it. A little bit of mustard.
Really?
Yep. Yep. And then I cut that up and ate that with.
Didn't feel like wrapping this in a tortilla first, huh?
No, I thought about it. I did think about it. Because I always like a good tortilla with things.
Sure.
So I did all that. Excuse me. And then, what was the other thing I had with it? I had something else. Oh, and I had a bunch of watermelon. So that seems like a really fancy meal right there, doesn't
it? Good healthy lunch. I really shouldn't talk because I broke down yesterday. I only had like 15 minutes between the end of TMS and all the prep stuff that I had to do for Coverville. I hadn't had all the songs picked out for yesterday's show. Usually I do.
Right.
But when you've got a Monday holiday, Monday and Tuesday are usually days I start putting together Coverville for Wednesday.
Sure.
And I didn't start putting things together until Tuesday afternoon. And so I was tight on time. Scott, there's a McDonald's like a block away from my house. I broke down. I swear to God, I have not been to McDonald's in probably, other than to take back a Redbox dollar Blu-ray rental.
Yeah.
I have not been to McDonald's in probably 12 months, maybe 18 months.
Oh my gosh. You were on a roll there.
I was on a roll. And in that time, our McDonald's, that's a block away from our house, has gotten totally high tech. So I walk in, the interior has been totally redone. It's all the wood grained like McDonald's cafe style, right?
Yeah. We have this and as well. This is happening all over the place, I think.
And they've got three big or three poles with six, one on each side, so two on each pole, tablet screens where you place your order far away from the counter.
Mm-hmm.
You place your order, you pay, and then you walk up to the counter and give them your receipt and they give you your food.
Yeah, we're doing that here as well, and it's
really
kind of awesome, but don't like touching that screen because there is some greasy business on there. Everybody who goes in there, every little kid's like, Mom, let me do it. And they want to get up and go Happy Meal, freaking whatever, and just wipe their boogers all over it.
Didn't those kids also touch the door handle that you walked in? You know, didn't they also?
All those things.
Yeah, I mean, you could totally Howie Mandel this and just walk around with latex gloves on your hands all day long. Yeah. Like,
here's what's funny about me. People think, oh, you're such a germaphobe. Not really. I still do it. Like, I'll still go into that McDonald's and I'll still touch that screen.
Yeah.
I just think about it.
Well, that's what makes the germaphobe. It's not necessarily that you act on it, Scott. It's that you think about it and you're kind of afraid of it or a little unnerved by it.
Yeah. It's not so much fear as it is like, ew, ugh, all right, well, whatever. Get my chicken sandwich.
Do what I do. Just pull out your penis and start ordering your Big Mac with that. That's... Then, you know, they'll have to worry about touching it with your fingers and then eating food with it later on.
So wait, do you use that on the touchscreen? You just flop it up there and start smacking on options?
Yeah, but I can only order from the bottom 2/3 of the menu.
Oh, really? Because I can get to the top. Really? Oh, that's too bad. Well, anyway, bottom line is don't eat like me. But then the connected situation might be this. Last night, like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. I awaken from what feels like a weird itch on my face. And I go, oh, what's this? And I kind of move my hand over and I put my hand like this. And I'm kind of half, you know, barely, not even awake. I'm just kind of coming out of it.
Sure.
And whatever it is, I have now pushed it toward the opening of my mouth.
Oh, no.
And I thought, all right, this is just something that's on the bed. It's a fuzzy or something. But then the thing that I moved is moving without me.
Oh, God. Okay.
And I go, blah, blah, blah. I get up out of bed and go, blah, 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 and they're spitting like crazy because I'm sure I've just eaten the worst thing
it's
ever.
It's got into your mouth, yeah.
There's a damn spider got in my mouth.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he got wind. Somebody in the insect communications network said, yo, that guy had a half a half a roast. You may want to see if you can get some of that business.
Right, the spider net news network.
Oh, it was there, hard to go back to sleep too, dude. I was just dying.
At what point do we start getting the emails from people or the messages from people saying, well, actually, you consume about 7 spiders a year while you're sleeping?
Yeah, no, I guarantee there is already somebody thinking about this. Somebody right now is just, they're holding their hands over their keyboard going, oh, they're talking about me.
They just basically said what I was about to type to them.
Yeah, I should have worn my luchador mask at night. Did you see this?
No.
I wore this on Core yesterday.
Okay.
Blizzard sent me a luchador mask.
That's great. Oh, yeah. It's even got the core symbol on the the Heroes of the Storm symbol on there.
Yeah, and it fits me pretty well. Let's see if I can just quickly put this
on. Is there a luchador character now in Heroes of the Storm that I don't know about?
They're doing an event that's like a wrestling event, and they have new skins for a bunch of characters that are like over the top, like luchador wrestling skins, and then they have like an announcer pack where the guy's like a...
I like that.
It's pretty good. I'll put this on best I can. With the headphones.
Good with headphones on.
There you go. Oh, that looks perfect. Weird with headphones on.
Yeah.
It looks like
you have a perfectly spherical head.
Anyway, this thing itches after about 2 minutes. And yeah. I wore it through the whole show last night because that was our bet that we couldn't do it or could do it.
Uh-huh.
So John and I wore it the whole time, and Bo sat there with a newspaper over his head the entire show. So that's the kind of life I lead. He's eating get his head. He lives in Canada. Things take forever up there. All right, that's all that. Spiders, half a piece of roast beast, beef, not beast. Well, it's a beast, whatever.
It's a beast.
Brian, let's talk about your trivia, pal.
Yeah, I went to trivia last night. Hadn't gone in a couple weeks. And I think last time we talked on a Thursday about me going to trivia, I was talking about my buddy, whose name I'm not going to mention this time because you'll find out why, that he'd kind of gone a little overboard and was, dwelling for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes on his dislike for the song Imagine by John Lennon.
Oh, and right.
This was after multiple PBRs and shots.
Sure.
And went to trivia last night.
Can you PBR again in it for just my own education?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh.
Yep. So we show up there. We order our food. We notice that he's drinking water. He's eating some wings. The wings there are the best. They're smoked, but they make it hard for me to sleep for whatever reason. I think there's too much salt or something.
Oh, sodium will do that. Yeah, we'll keep you up.
Yeah, but we notice he's drinking water, and he's totally taking it easy. And we talk and find out that he is abstaining from drinking. Like he's done. He doesn't like the way that he feels when he's drinking. Doesn't like, what he turns into, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he is even getting some help. Again, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I'm super proud of him. And he might listen to the show. That is right, Pops in Recline. It's possible that he listens. And I want to be very fair and very cool because I'm super proud of him.
Yeah, like, that's awesome.
He's doing this on his own. He's like, you know what? It's becoming a problem. I'm stopping. And,
it's a huge step to start that. Like that's the biggest one, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really cool. I think it's perfectly cool to bring it up. And anybody out there struggling with that kind of thing, check it out. There's somebody who's figuring it out. You can too.
Yeah. So Dunaway, I'd be more proud of you if you knew your Pac-Man games.
Better. Oh yeah, Dunaway doesn't. Look.
Yeah. Exactly. That is where my source of pride would come from with you being a co-host of Boop, is knowing the different variations of Pac-Man and
it's like finding out that never mind, I was going to make a president joke, but I've sworn off those. I've sworn off those. Okay. Although I will say this, did you see the picture? He had a meeting with Kim Kardashian yesterday.
Yes, to talk about prison reform.
Prison reform with Kim Kardashian, expert.
Kim Kardashian, and he's sitting down at his desk, and she's standing up next to him. It's the weirdest staged photo. Like, did they have their meeting with him sitting at the desk and her just standing next to him, like, looking down?
I don't think she can. I don't think she can smile anymore. She was probably smiling ear to ear, but
you're about to say, I don't think she can sit down anymore with.
Well, maybe
all the butt implants. And
maybe all of that. But that seemed interesting to me. The idea that's your prison reform expert,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah.
But good job there, President Weirdo. All right, we're going to...
That reminds me, I've got a meeting with him next week where we're going to talk about green architecture.
Yeah.
Green buildings and sure. and campuses and things like that.
Yeah, and then I've been working with Joey Lawrence on, you know, helping us with the Iran nuclear deal.
Libya, right?
Yeah.
Joey Lawrence and me have been talking about, you know, Syria, getting the refugees out of Syria.
Yeah, and they're like, we are bringing more war to our people. And he says, whoa. And then they stop. That's the end of it. All right, good stuff. Hey, everybody, check it out. This is this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the morning news brought to you by...
The 2018 Heroes Charity Brawl, live this weekend at the Hall of... at heroescharitybrawl.net.
This is all true. If you go to heroescharitybrawl.net, you will find all the details, when it's happening, how to contribute to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We're here to help the kids, and it's our third year, and we want to break our old records, so come all. It'll be right here on this streaming channel, in fact, this Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific. All the details at heroescharitybrawl.com. Even if you don't like Heroes of the Storm, we have a really good time. It's super funny, and it's all for a great cause. So come check it out. All right. A couple. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you're like together.
Right. As opposed to a few.
Yeah.
Or a bunch.
Or the one.
Or the one.
If I walk past a couple tree and I neither take a person nor leave a person, how is that possible?
That's amazing. It is the question that is that's lasted the ages. Oh, I don't know what the phrase is.
I don't either, but I like where you're headed there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A couple unknowingly this is actually a really nice story. I'm starting with something nice. Mm-hmm. They both brought a ring, and specifically engagement rings, to a trip to the zoo they were taking without each other knowing it. So they were going to both, the two ladies, by the way.
Okay. I was going to say, and that couple was Donald Trump and Kim Kardashian.
Where they discussed at length the problem with our prison system.
Please continue.
Anyway, so they, this Tennessee couple, they show up to the zoo trip without knowing each other was bringing a ring. And they each had a secret plan to pop the question. This is in the Memphis Zoo.
That's awesome.
It was a special place for Becky McCabe and Jessa Gillespie.
Okay.
Wonder which name do you go with if you're going to... not that they have to, but let's say they picked one of those.
Becky Gillespie or Jessa McCabe. I would go both McCabe. Becky McCabe, yeah. Jessa McCabe.
Oh, that's hard.
It's hard to say. Jessa McCabe.
Jessa McCabe. There we go.
Jessa McCabe. It sounds like, you know, the way we're saying it, it sounds like she's... you know, doing the traffic on the morning news. Here's traffic with Jessa McCabe.
Jessa McCabe.
Hey, Bill, we're over the freaking freeway doing a deal.
Anyway, because they'd gone there, on their first date there, so this was like a place they, you know, have some fond memories of. Mm-hmm. When they went there with their friends on Friday, McCabe had arranged for one of their pals to videotape the proposal. The couple, surrounded by all their friends, posed for a photo in front of the zoo. As one of the friends took the picture, another friend began filming in anticipation of the big moment. After one photo, McCabe asks, "Can we get a candid one, like talking?" That's a quote. Mm-hmm. The couple broke their pose and began to take a more casual photo. They kissed. Then McCabe turned to Gillespie. McCabe held a ring behind her back and told Gillespie she loved her. Then, dropping to one knee, she opened the ring box and asked, "Will you marry me?" The whole time, Gillespie cried tears of joy. But instead of answering the question, she turned around, grabbed her purse, and started digging around for something, pulled out a ring, and did the exact same thing. Aww. Oh, they're adorable.
That's the best meet cute story ever.
That's pretty good.
What a great meet cute. I've been shipping those two forever. So,
aww.
By the way, we learned something at trivia last night. Speaking of this whole thing, we had a question asking something like this. So the Labrys is a double sided axe, right? Got the blade on both sides.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it also represents one of the members of the LGBTQ community.
Oh.
Which one does it represent?
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was our question, and I'll tell you. Well, okay. let me get your guess first, and I'll tell you what our guess was.
What does it represent? Which yeah. group of the
Which group of the LGBTQ community?
I don't know. It's really hard. Okay, I'll just say one. We'll see if mm-hmm. we get it right. It's the bisexual.
That's exactly what we said, because we thought, all right, well, it's a double-sided axe. It goes both ways. It seems like logical.
Yeah.
Like we sussed it out fairly logically.
Yeah.
No, apparently it represents lesbianism, because I guess because it's labrous and lesbian. I don't know. L?
Oh. That's why? Because they share LeBron James. Got it. Nailed it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I guess because, the Labrys is a historic goddess movement symbol, represents the memory of pre-patriarchal matristic societies. Since the 1970s, it's been used as a lesbian and feminist symbol said to represent women's strength and self-sufficiency.
Oh, wow. Look what you guys learned.
Yeah, so we learned something. We got that question wrong.
What weapon would represent you, do you think? If you had a weapon that represented Brian Ebbett, what would it be?
Oh.
Has to be a melee weapon like this. Melee weapon, no guns.
Right, sure. A brick.
Well, in a pinch, yeah, that's a good weapon.
A brick with a funny hat is the weapon that would represent
a brick with a funny hat.
What a weird
hat.
Let me think. I don't know. what weapon would represent me?
I kind of like brick.
I'd say a rapier.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, there we go.
All right, so Brian has said it on the air.
How about you?
He's a raper.
how about you, Scott?
I'm going to say...
What weapon would represent you?
Okay, some kind of staff with a really glowy end on it.
That's...
It's a wizard staff.
Okay, but that's not a melee weapon.
Sure it is.
You were saying...
You fight like
really?
Staves, yeah. Whap, 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 whap.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd like, you cast spells because it's got a glowy end.
Well, I could do that too, but you'd also...
Seems like it would break pretty easy. I'm just saying.
Basically, Nash's staff from There Will Be Dungeons. That's correct. Tezariel.
Gotcha.
Got a big nail in the top of it. All right. Hey, if you're at... you ever gone tornado chasing? Is that a thing you've done?
No, I have not. I leave that to Bill Pullman. No, Bob Paxton and Helen Hunt.
Bill Paxton. Wait, Bob? Bill.
Bob Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton? Why did I think that they had two different names?
I don't know.
Bill Paxton.
It is
Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Which just didn't sound right to me. I'm thinking, it's not. Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
And then the another B name for Paxton, but it is Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton.
Yes. And they're both, sorry.
No,
Bill Pullman's
just
alive.
Bill Paxton's passed away.
Yeah. Bill Paxton died. The other guy in the Twister movie died.
I leave it to Prince Wesley to go chase those tornadoes. That's who I leave it
okay,
to.
Okay, I see what you're doing.
Whatever, I can't remember his name. But
I don't either. Oh, no, I know his name. Oh, hold on.
Sure you do.
Mm-hmm. Ledge, it's like a girl name, kind of.
Carol Leifer.
Chandra Fursnazzlepuss.
That's exactly it. Carrie Ellis.
Oh, that's it. I knew it was something like that. anyway, who's the other one that died, though, that drove the van? It's a famous actor. Everyone loved him. He played...
Meatloaf? No, Meatloaf's still alive.
No.
Oh, Meatloaf drove a van in a different movie. Drove the van.
Drove the van. It was one of the first things I'd ever seen him
Jack
in.
Jack Black, I thought, was the guy driving the
no,
van.
It's
no,
it's not. It's a very Jack Black. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman. You're right. Yeah. Yes.
It's a very Jack Black role, though.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah. He easily could have been that guy. But
yeah, Meatloaf drove the van in Leap of Faith, which is one of the most underrated freaking movies, I think, of all time. He also drove the van in Spice World. Apparently gets typecast as a van driver.
Wait a minute. Meatloaf drives the van in Spice World?
Yeah.
We got to get that on Film Sack. What are we doing?
I'm telling you. Why haven't we?
I don't know. It's just not available, I think.
Ew, it's like Crossroads. It's going to suck. I'm scared. I still say Crossroads would have made a great...
I am all for... I mean, I might even be able to say, okay, now I'm ready for Crossroads. But I think I'm always ready for Spice World. No problem.
Yeah, it's not streaming, but as soon as it is.
Yeah.
My cat rubbing against my leg. Do you want to come up? What do you want?
What's going on with the cat?
I don't know. She's just rubbing back and forth against my leg.
Well, you got to let you got the
she's
your leg
claiming
man.
Me as her territory.
She's a leg cat. She likes those legs. Oh yeah.
She is coming up. Are you gonna come up?
I'm coming up.
All right, we'll see.
I want the rest to know. All right. What was I doing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about...
Tornado chasers.
Tornado chasers. Yep. We haven't even gotten to this story yet.
Mm-mm. Well, this guy who's super into it wants his ashes launched into a twister. That'd be pretty cool. He's
That is kind of cool. Is it going to be little plastic Dorothy balls?
That would be really cool. Oh, my gosh. That's a great idea. Missouri storm chaser told friends in his obit, that's short for obituary. Mm-hmm. Or do you say obituary?
Obituary.
That he wants them to launch his ashes into a tornado, adding, that'll be fun, unquote. His name is Jim Mad Dog Sellers. Well, that's a great last name for a guy who chases tornadoes, doesn't it? Because cellars, you always hide in the cellar when the tornadoes come.
That's a good play. Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Oh, there's a kitty. Look at this kitty.
Right. Hide in the cellars with Jim.
The kitty.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
I'm hanging out. I'm a podcasting cat.
The boy.
I'm a legacy podcaster.
Hall of Fame kitty. Let's see. Where is this? Oh, this mad dog guy spelled out his unique wishes in the obituary he wrote before he died on Tuesday. Green Lawn Funeral Home confirmed the death, saying Springfield man was age 64, had lived with a heart condition for several years. Springfield newsletter or news leader reports. Oh, did you ever go there? The Springfield News Leader?
I did. Yes.
Really?
I definitely did. I remember their logo. Springfield, Illinois, right? No, Springfield.
No, Missouri.
Missouri, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did go there.
That's crazy.
The News Leader.
The News
might
Leader.
Have been one of the first, might have been one of the first ones I went to, actually.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There was one of the first trips that I went on. I had to rent a car and drive a fairly long distance from the airport to the hotel. Like it was, you had to fly in City X and then drive an hour and a half out to City Z to get to, for the newspaper. And yeah. So I'd arrive and then I'd,
it's all right. You do seem like a Bond villain, by the way.
I do totally missed. Well, Mr. Johnson, I expect you to read the news story. So I had to drive to this hotel and it was my first time driving an automatic vehicle since I learned how to drive. I learned how to drive on an automatic, but since then I've been driving stick, driving manual.
Yeah.
So I rented this car and I'm driving driving to the hotel. I get to the hotel and what I would do is I'd park in the breezeway and then I'd get out, I'd get the room and get back to my car, park closer to where the hotel room was, like by one of the other entrances, like a Holiday Inn Express or a Courtyard by Marriott or something like that.
Is that what those are called? Is the breezeway that where you have the turn in and unload and all that?
Yep,
I didn't know that.
Exactly. Okay. And but what I couldn't do, I could not get the key out of the ignition. Mm. Like I turned the car off, key is just not coming out. And I'm like, well, crap, how do I get the key out? And I'm like, I turn the car back on. I turn the car back off. Like maybe restarting it is the problem. Mm. Can't get the key out. Pushing the brake, pulling up the emergency brake. Nothing. Like cannot get the key out of the ignition.
Damn.
So, and it's like 9 o'clock at night wherever I am. And I have to call back to one of the people I work with who, usually goes out on trips or used to go out on trips with me. And, dude, I can't get the key out of the ignition. Is the car broken? Like, do I need to call AAA? How do I get the key out? And they're like, just put it in park and then you'll be able to take the key out. Oh, okay. Is that all it is? All right, good.
Oh, that sucks.
Which is hilarious. I'm not, having a driving manual, you don't have to worry about that because you automatically, instinctively, you pull into a spot, you turn, the shift in park, turn, pull out the key. But when you're driving, it's like, all right, stop, turn off the car. The car is not moving forward anymore when I take my foot off the pedal when it's in drive because the car is off.
Mm-hmm. I think this is just a problem with being a manual stick driver, and which I was all my life. I love it.
Yeah.
It's the way I prefer to drive. And even now it's like my car is a stick on purpose. Like I want it that way. I order them that way. And it's cheaper, or it was. I don't know if it is anymore. Mm-hmm. But it used to be a lot cheaper to get a manual box in your car. So whenever I do get into somebody's automatic, like Kim's got this automatic transmission on her Honda, I feel weird in there.
right.
just don't feel right. And so forgetting that you got to put stuff in the right amount of park and everything is it's a problem. I still do it with her car, even though it's not a key. It's a button, but I'll leave it in like drive, pull up into right. the thing, pull up the emergency brake, hit the button, and it goes, beep, 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 beep. You're an idiot.
Right, right. So no, that's right. And that's right. In a stick, you put it in first gear. Like you turn off the car, you put the thing in first gear so it doesn't roll away. Because if you put it in neutral, it can roll right down the hill.
Yeah, you can put it in any gear, I think. You can just
There's no park.
Right.
There's no pee on a stick shift.
No, nobody pees on a stick shift.
Nobody puts pee in the corner.
Mm-mm. Well,
some people maybe. Do. Maybe this guy does.
Anyway.
You skipped, by the way, our Captain Kirk story.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to go back to that one. Okay. That's a good one, too. Anyway, so this guy is having his ashes thrown in there. That's the point.
That's totally cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, if that's
Hopefully
what you
from
did.
From a distance, right? Like you just buy a drone,
mm-hmm.
put his ashes in the drone, a cheap Woot drone.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Totally.
Because otherwise, what are you going to do? Run up and have somebody...
fucking like a baseball in there? No, that's a little scary. By the way, I'm trying my drone out today for the first time. With the bike, like I'm going to put it on active track.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it'll follow me around, and I'm going to try riding in some of the cool, more scenic places around on my ride and try and turn it into a video.
Are you, are you going to share that out so people can see it?
Oh, hell yes. Okay. If it's good. Yeah. Actually, even if it's not good, I'll share it out.
Even if it sucks, I'll show you.
Even if it sucks. I got to put some, some cool instrumental action music to it. And then, yeah, it's going to be fun.
It sure will be. I'm excited for you. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Captain Kirk.
Sure.
After
sabotage.
After boldly going where no man should go in public, a man said he was Captain Kirk, the cops say. The Clearwater cops found this guy on a bus stop bench on Monday. He appeared to be masturbating.
Just cleaning the photon torpedoes.
Spock, I need some time alone.
You can't fire these at Klingons unless they're polished. Polishing the torpedoes.
Get back on the bridge and leave me alone. According to the police statement, after the cops took the man into custody, they asked his name. He says James Tiberius Kirk.
Perfect.
Yep. That would be the full name of James T. Kirk, commander of the Starship Enterprise and lead character for the original Star Trek. Actually, the imposter's name was James Roger Bundrick.
Uh-huh.
Though he is transient, Bundrick does not seem to be on a 5-year mission through the universe. In fact, the 56-year-old Georgia native, last 5 years have been in Florida. He spends 3.5 years in prison and then was there for aggravated battery and deadly weapon stuff and all that, made a fake bomb threat. He received a citation for improper pedestrian action earlier this year. And I would, if there's a better term than improper pedestrian action than him diddling in his doodah there in the park, I don't know what is.
did he think that they don't speak English? Remember the song, we'll give your ID card to the border guard.
Oh,
says
right.
Here, name is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the United Federation of Planets, because he won't speak English anyway. Everybody knows that the world is full of stupid people.
There you go.
So meet me at the mission. All right, well, we're done.
I liked it. I was ready. I was settling in for the long haul.
You got the pistols and I got the pesos. Yeah, and that seems fair.
I don't remember any of this, but I'm glad
what?
You do.
What? Really? You don't remember that song at all?
At all.
Oh, my God. It's such a great song. Refreshments, Bandidos, man. It is...
People say their two albums are great in the chat.
They are.
Is that all they did? That they never did
Fizzy,
nothing else?
Fuzzy, Big and Buzzy, I believe, is the first album.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's how I like my soft drinks.
Who doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. After the show today, you got to listen to pull up a YouTube video and watch Bandidos by the Refreshments.
Okay.
You totally know that one. You totally know it.
Maybe I do. But your rendition of it's not ringing a bell. But
TV Zegon just posted a link to the they're Roger Klein and the Peacemakers now instead of the Refreshments, but
oh, it was a live
thing.
Let's see, I'm gonna skip ahead.
It's the Whiskey a Go-Go.
Okay, they're rocking it.
That's well done, TV Zygon. Way to find the worst possible way to listen to that song.
I don't. Like, none of this is familiar to me. I
recorded,
can't.
Recorded from the bathroom at CBGB's while doing blow on the sink. Perfect.
There's better video than audio because the. Look at him. Hey now, in all caps. Oh, man, you're at home. If you're not at the show live, you're missing on a piece of the show that's really good. I mean, you should still listen wherever you can, and I'm not saying you have to.
The third host of the show is collectively the entity known as Tadpole, chat room.
Yeah, the great distracting bunch of freaks that they are.
That's right. Anyway, that's great that he did that. And I guess they didn't buy it. They didn't say, oh, okay, you're free to go, Mr. Kirk.
Right. They didn't. They said, no, you're going in. He's now in trouble. Here, I was going to say something about that. What was it going to be? It was, oh, I didn't tell you this story. This reminds me of some pervert in the park. So, Nick went on a date with a girl and he took the train to meet her. Okay. So he goes all the way down to middle of town to meet her. We got this great train line that just comes all the way to where we live and he can go anywhere all the way up to Salt Lake. So he goes out there. We call it the tracks, the UTA tracks.
Yeah. TRAX. Because we're cool like that.
It's generally a very clean, speedy, inexpensive, nice public transportation system. It's
Tristan
good.
Tristan and I took that the first time we came to Salt Lake City for Intertacular. We took the tracks downtown and ate at that sushi restaurant that I think we both know about.
Oh, yeah. That was really good, that place. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, it's a nice, it's a cool thing. So normally not a problem. Nick gets on this train, goes to see this girl. They have their date. They hang out. They do lunch or whatever. And then he gets back onto the train to come home, or he's going to get back on the train. He's at the train station, and some guy comes up to him and goes, "Hey, buddy, what's your name?" And he's wearing like a big coat. And Nick goes, hi, yeah, my name's Nick. I mean, he's being friendly.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, "Oh, where are you headed to?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm just, out here to whatever." And the guy starts doing something weird in his pocket.
Oh, no.
And so Nick, I'm proud of him. Here's what he does. He goes, "Oh, that's my train." And he jumps on the first train that's there.
Right. Doesn't matter if it's the actual train he wants.
It was going to the airport.
Okay.
So he gets on this airport, or he gets on this train because he didn't care to get away from this guy who's doodling with his bing bong.
Yeah.
Gets into the train. Ends up going two stops of the other opposite direction. Before he
two
got
stops.
Out,
yeah. No, what distance did he feel like he needed from this guy?
That's a good question. I think he may have just missed one, or they didn't stop, or something weird.
Why not do it? Do what you see in every single police chase movie, where they get on the train, they go to the other end of the car, and they get off the train and hope that the person didn't see them.
Well, he actually got on it and then got off, and then called me and Kim and said, "Hey, just so you know, I'm running late. We were at a family party. He was supposed to come meet us at." Or we were supposed to pick him up and then bring him to. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm here." Mom's like, "What? Why are you?" She's thinking he's just being dumb and got on the wrong train.
Right,
and then he tells the story. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, good job, boy. Get the hell
out
of there."
That is well done. But yeesh. It seems like he probably could have been a little more efficient in his train hopping.
I agree. I think he panicked. He panicked. His own train spotting nightmare.
Right.
Right before his own eyes. Final story. There's a surgeon who removed 4,100 gallstones from a patient in 4 hours. Mm. Now, I bring this up because I've never heard of such a thing. This is a Nashik doctor. This is in India. This is reported by the Hindustan Times, right? Anyway, happened in
Hindustan
Mumbai.
Hindustan Times, yes. I didn't... Okay. When you first told me the story, I thought from 4,100 patients... And he's just some sort of speed doctor.
Right. Nope. He's one dude, 43-year-old patient, 4 hours of surgery, 4,100 gallstones removed from this one guy. Now,
this guy has more gallstone than man, really. If you've got 4,100 gallstones in you, then...
The chat room's got another link to it from Fox News, I guess. The patient was just complaining about abdominal pain. They go in there, and this guy's got this many stones. Now, I have seen gallstones because... whatever you call the guy married to my mom right now, had gall surgery, and they brought out
John. How about we just call him John?
They brought out like a jar, a cup, or a surgical thing that had his gallstones in it, and there was only like five in there, and it looked like cherry pie or something. Like it's kind of gross, but it didn't look like anything big deal to me. But apparently, you can have a lot more than that. After several tests confirmed gallstones, Dr. Amit Shareed Kaili, who runs Krishna Hospital, runs the whole hospital. Jeez.
Wow.
Operated on this dude, said each of the stones range from 3 millimeters to 4 millimeters in diameter. That's pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
After the surgery lasted 4 hours, two of the hospital staff members were asked to count the stones. Well, how'd you like that job?
1, 2, 3.
Hey, Amir, come here.
I've lost count.
Yeah. started again. That guy died too.
The count died?
Yeah, the voice of the count died a year or two ago.
I didn't know that.
Bums me out. I know, it sucks. I don't think Muppet people should die. I think they should live forever.
Right, yeah.
For whatever reason, that's just the thing with me. It says obesity was a problem. The guy had irregular food habits. Cholesterol levels were real bad. Diabetes. Says that that's your problem. So if you cannot be a big dude with a horrible diet and the diabetes, you won't have this many gallstones. Is the lesson is what I'm trying to say. That's the
Jerry
lesson.
Nelson, by the way. Jeannie says it's a Muppeteer Jerry Nelson and one of the best Muppet voices out there.
I agree. And he had to die. Why? Why couldn't someone
kill
else
kill
evil people? Oh, it was 2012? Feels like yesterday.
People die. That's the way it goes. 2012. I don't think he was murdered by Bert or something.
Bert murder. That would be that implies that Frank Oz is the killer, is what you're saying.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, I think Bert. Like Bert, he walked into a room and he just sees the silhouette in front of the window of Bert with his arms hanging down.
So who's got his hand up his butt? Nobody. He's just like
nobody.
Nobody.
He's
okay.
Do you want to take a cookie now?
Ernie. Anyway, don't get
diabetes
or you'll have problems. All right.
Sleep in separate beds.
Yep. That's right. You're over there. The one with the E over it.
That's right.
This one has a B for Bert. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Therapy Thursday to help us through all this Muppet problems we have. No, actually, it's much bigger than that. I'm terrified of this actual email, but whatever. It's huge.
Too.
Look how big it is. How am I going to read this? Whoo!
Want me to read it?
I'll read it. I don't care. I'll be fine.
Unless you
want to read it. Do you want to read this?
Sound it out. I'm happy to.
Well, let's see here. Let's see.
It's a big longy.
It's a long donger.
Let's you and I alternate every other word.
Yeah. That would be so dumb. We should do that.
No, that would.
We're not doing that. Text to speech would be great.
Dear TMS.
No, I'd use one of the old ones like,
I'm sorry.
This is an important message.
Talking moose.
This is what I try to say to you. I love that one. The guy that's he sounds like the steering wheel in what's the Pixar movie? Not Finding Nemo, the one with the little robot.
Wall-E.
Jeez Louises.
Oh, really? I don't remember the steering wheel.
You cannot go past. He's got that that whole like the humans are dead. That kind of thing. Right. The humans are dead. All right, we're gonna take a break. I already told you what we're doing. All right, so that's all happening in a second. But before that, Brian and his music have come to town.
That's right. We're going to Northern California for this one, and a band that's releasing their album next month, June 22nd. It's going to be a nice Friday for me. Carbo loading on some pasta before the big race is what I'm going to be doing. But these guys are going to be releasing their album. They're influenced by folks like the Pixies and the Stooges. So very raw, fuzz guitar sounding rock and roll. Similar to bands like Waves and Fiddler, they pull from their own experiences in the sunny surf town of Monterey, where there's a beautiful aquarium, but now find themselves relocated to the gritty and hectic city life of San Fran. They released their record Beacons in 2015 and have been included in a lot of playlists and compilations with radio stations like KQED and BFF FM. Anyway, their first single is this one right here. It's a song called Waste Me. Here's a band called The Silhouette Era and Waste Me.
Fantastic. Why won't it play?
Hold on a second.
There it is.
You won, Ko.
Villains always lose.
You're totally alone, don't you know that? Wanted to be you. You won't be alone.
Is that why you're making trouble? Villains gather. Heroes do it alone.
End times.
The Morning Stream. How about a booby?
Oh, we're back, everybody. That was short and sweet. I like that one.
Yes. And nice. I forgot about the surf guitar in there. Very prominent and cool surf guitar, which I love.
It's not enough of that anymore, right?
Need more. Not enough of it, no.
No, more of that in our lives, please. All right, we're going to get Wendy all up in it. It's my sister, Wendy.
Yeah. And, she's a therapist, an actual licensed therapist.
That's what I've heard. The rumor's been floating around for a while that she's licensed to help people with personal problems.
And an actual licensed sister, too.
Yeah, she's fully licensed as my sister.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. You know, we get to see you this summer. I'm so excited.
Yay.
Yeah.
Not me. I mean, I know why I'm cheering, because I won't get to see you this summer. But
yeah, I guess you won't see her, but we will. And, you know, it's going to be great. I'm very excited about that. I was watching an old Facebook video I put up forever ago of Peter when he was just, like, I don't know, couldn't have been more than a couple of months old. He was maybe, it was maybe 3 or 4 months old, but he was laughing his head off at Kim because Kim has this weird baby whisper thing she can do. You should see her getting little baby Ken going now. It's pretty great. But anyway, that was just weird because he's way bigger than that now. He's a great big kid now.
He is.
Yeah. Gonna play for Sweden's international basketball team or some such one day.
Or if they just have a team that's a bit spazzy and really loud, he would be the best.
He'd fit right in, it turns out. Yeah. Well, listeners, this is my sister Wendy Dunford. She is a licensed therapist and helps people with real problems each and every day. And today's no different. In fact, Thursdays are a hallmark of her coming on here and saying, yo, I'm here to help. And that's what we do. We help you with your hard problems. We got a doozy today that I'm...
Here we go.
Brian, do you want to read it or should I?
I'll totally read it.
Brian's going to read today because it'll be fun for him. So, Brian, have at it. Let's hear you do your take. Let's go.
All right. So, begins. Hello, Scott, Brian, and Wendy. I'm in the process of deciding to become a member of Dignitas to be able to have the option of assisted suicide in Switzerland in the future. I'm 36, I've undergone 23 surgeries, and over 100 specialist office visits. I was born with two very rare eye conditions. These conditions caused me to never have usable vision out of my left eye, and 20 over 200, or worse vision, out of my right. I've lived with this severely limited vision for the first 30 years, and have spent the last 6 years completely blind. I married my best friend and have been married for 17 years. We've experienced very difficult challenges, primarily external to our relationship. She's been an incredible support and a hard worker to bring the majority of our household income in through most of our marriage. I've tried very diligently to get work, start my own businesses, and implement investing strategies for passive income, but many times I couldn't do it successfully because of energy limitations and doing much of it alone. We've lost the little visual connection we were able to enjoy prior to the full loss of vision. This loss of connection has been especially difficult on my wife. The loss of the little vision I had has made life for me so much more difficult and severely isolating. As a friend who dealt with breast cancer twice herself said to me, people would see me at the grocery store and give me a hug because they know someone or they've dealt with cancer themselves. I would imagine that people don't know what to do around you, so they keep their distance. She then proceeded to give me a hug. I miss being able to see the sky and point out beautiful lighting effects that my wife and friends didn't notice because they weren't seeing the world around them and taking their sight for granted. I never cared whether it was sunny or rainy because there was always something to see. Have you ever noticed how the lights of the city at night reflect on low-hanging clouds and how beautiful it can be? Besides the isolation both online and in life, the mental and emotional energy output is significant and reaching the point of unendurable. There are projects and businesses that I've wanted to develop, but after 30 plus years of problem solving around the challenge of limited vision, as well as the desire to do all I can with confidence and grace, despite the constant daily struggle, has finally become an overwhelming prospect. I take care of the domestic duties for my wife and I, including going with a friend to help me do grocery shopping, meal batching, laundry, and overall household organization. Add to that, I have a drive to learn about the brain and psychology, life and business hacking, staying on the cutting edge of technology, even though much of it isn't easy to use with a screen reader, and the list goes on. I've tried to start a video podcast on YouTube, but again, doing it all alone without collaboration with others who want to assist and be regularly involved is that much more difficult. After consuming amazing sources of information and insights, as well as making meaningful connections between what would seem disparate industries, concepts, and ideas, I'm lacking the team of collaborators and integrators I'd need to make these insights into businesses, and I'm honestly mentally and emotionally drained. Tired, drained, and exhausted are limited and insubstantial language to use for how I feel these days as I deal with the pain and frustration about how difficult it is. I miss playing video games that allowed my brain to engage in passive cognitive activity, and being completely blind requires being in a mentally active state most of the time. For example, calculating a 5-lane road crossing to get to my real estate office. A counselor at the Oregon Commission for the Blind suggested I join their knitting group to have something passive to do. In my opinion, this response is not acceptable. Most businesses don't think about accessibility, or if they do, many decide that it's not a financial priority and that there's simply not enough customers who need it. Even though designing with accessibility in mind typically produces a superior experience for everyone, most businesses and individuals don't want to do the hard thinking or even involve someone with a disability because most don't have the awareness, attention, and the compassion to spend the time. This means I'm constantly inadvertently discriminated against, and I'm exhausted trying to help people care or trying to get them to want to discover the unique perspective blindness has given me. A psychologist friend likes to remind me that people don't care about you or what you want. People only care about what you can do for them. I understand this isn't wholly true, but there seems enough truth in it to make my life without vision that much more difficult and lonely. My wife is fully aware of the challenges I deal with. She's also reluctantly assisting me with preparing for this decision by filing out paperwork, preparing a will, etc. She understandably feels like she's living in limbo while I'm deciding whether to continue struggling and living or proceed with the assisted suicide process. Mm. How would you deal with this kind of circumstance? I'm interested in your thoughts and perspective. Thank you. And we'll leave his name off.
Yep. Yeah, we can leave it off there. Well done. So Wendy, I didn't know there was such a thing you could sign up for and say, yep, I want to be, I mean, what's throwing me here is the name Dignitas, because that's actually a subgroup in our World of Warcraft guild.
Yeah, I'd never.
So when he was saying, I'm in the process of deciding to become a member of Dignitas, I'm like, oh, he's getting into our guild. Sweet. Let's see what's going on with this guy. I'll probably get to meet him in game. And then I realized, oh no, that's not what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that is, but I'll bet Wendy does. Because she is a learned person.
Is Wendy still here?
I hope so.
I am. I'm sorry. I was muting because I had lots of screaming children.
That's totally fine.
On such a sober topic, I was not thinking that would be helpful.
It's all good.
Yes. What is it? How do you say it again?
Dignitas. Dignitas, yeah.
Dignitas. Okay. So I looked it up, and you can obviously find it on the web. And it's an organization out of Switzerland that is, you know, a nonprofit that sort of supports this end of life assisted suicide decision for people, and you know, helps clear up misinformation and help people support them during that. So him joining that is just supporting a group that is sort of making itself available to help others in this situation. Doesn't mean he's necessarily doing it, but it sounds like he lives in Oregon. Is that the sense you guys got?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah,
talk to somebody in Oregon. Yeah. And Oregon is one of the states that has legally passed the dignity laws, which is, you know, the right to die with dignity, which is medically assisted suicide, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it sounds like he, if I'm misunderstanding this, but he's going, would go to suicide, or would go to Switzerland for the procedure for the assisted suicide. No, or could you just have it done in Oregon?
I believe you can. I mean, there's so many states that you can do this in. I have a list here. I just hid it for myself alone. Where'd it go? But it's legal in a number of places. In fact, Hawaii, I think, just recently made itself one of those states where it's legal.
Okay.
And let me pull it up. I have.
Yeah, I don't know why he brings that. I'm looking this up. The Dignitas organization specifically is a Swiss nonprofit organization. It started there, but I don't know why they would have to. Other than
no, it's not related to that. That's just he's putting himself. He's deciding whether to become a part or and support that organization.
Right.
They don't do anything.
Okay.
They're not gonna. Okay. He doesn't have to go to Switzerland for that.
All right. So it's not like dignitized. You don't walk into their offices and they're like, all right, sit down. This is welcome to our suicide room. It's not like that.
Yeah, no. Okay. So the current in the United States, the current states that have assisted dying laws, they are restricted typically to terminally ill patients who are also mentally competent. They have to be adults, of course, which I have a question about that for him. But anyway, it's Oregon, Montana, Washington, Vermont, Hawaii, California, Colorado, Washington, D.C., and Oregon. So Oregon was the first to legalize this through popular vote. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So let's start at the start. How about that?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So typically, so the idea being you're terminally ill, you're going to die, you kind of know the outcome of your diagnosis, you know what that death's probably going to look like as far as suffering and pain and how long it will take. I mean, we tend to have good ideas about most of those things these days, right?
Sure.
So you have all of that and you are mentally competent and by law, at least in Oregon and other places, you are able to get the medical assistance to end your life. You get the support, you're surrounded by whoever you choose to be surrounded by, it's self-administered, etc. So it's sort of the option to die with dignity rather than waiting until the ravages of the disease take you, right?
Yeah.
And so I think all of us can go, oh yeah, I want that option if I needed it, you know, like it's,
if I was faced with that. Yeah. I mean,
I would. I want that option big time. Like, I'm not saying everyone should get to obviously choose, you know, they shouldn't be put down early because the state thinks that, well, you're not useful anymore, so we're going to put you down.
Right,
I don't support it to that degree, but if somebody's, you know, in the throes of some horrendous cancer or something like that, and one of their options is to choose that, who am I to say no? I feel like that should be like a weird fundamental right. Now we're getting to a political argument probably, but I feel pretty strong about that one for some reason.
Right. Mm-hmm. And most people who would disagree with you see it as you're taking a life, you're taking your own life. They see that as a sin or some other moral sort of version of it's not okay to do that type of thing, you know, and I am always of the belief that if you've watched a loved one suffer and die, then go ahead and have your opinion, or you yourself have gone through it, then go ahead and have your opinion. It's a little tougher when you've literally never seen anyone, you know, sort of really, really suffering at the end. And the only, they're just in a drug-induced state. That's most deaths nowadays anyway, right? Like you're so ill and they just keep you comfortable until you stop breathing and your heart stops beating often.
Yeah.
So it's people doing it sort of a little earlier than what will naturally happen. So you're going to have, you know, if you want to get into a political debate, you'll have lots of people with lots of opinions about this. But it's obviously been decided already in Oregon. So this guy has this opportunity. I think what's confusing to me is I don't know what disease he has that would make him terminally ill.
That's, yeah. You know, he says he's got two very rare eye conditions, but he doesn't say where the terminal illness comes into play. And that's the question I have. I mean, obviously I don't know what it's like to be blind. You know, I'm fortunate that I've got my sight. So I don't know the kind of difficulties that that our writer is going through. Mm-hmm. He's been completely blind for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Assume
this email was probably dictated to us, like
voice
to text or something.
Mm-hmm. It just seems, again, and it's hard for me to give a perspective on this. My perspective would be, you've got to find the way to keep going with this. You know, like figure out, you know, if the things you're doing to go through life day to day aren't working, maybe you figure out something else before you go to an extreme, because it doesn't feel like, at least in here, I can't see where the terminal illness, it just feels like he's really frustrated and drained and just emotionally spent with
not seeing the accessibility that he has for the things that he wants to do.
Right. And the relationship and Brian, with his wife. Your response is probably what he would be hearing a lot of if he asked.
I'm guessing, right. I'm guessing that that's, you know, that he's basically hearing that from everybody in his life who doesn't know what he's going through. And, and that's why I feel like, that's why I have to preface it with, I don't know what he's going through, and I totally will admit a cop to that.
Yeah,
of course. And so, my point, my reason in pointing that out is that is the right response at a certain stage of people's grief and loss. And my sense with this is because the terminal illness is not there and blindness is the reason to end his life. Mm-hmm. He's in certain stages of grief and the grief has not sort of resolved itself and he hasn't gone through the whole thing. So if you ask anyone 2 days after a cancer diagnosis, would they maybe want to end their life? They might say yes, because they're in a particular stage of grief. All of us, we lose a loved one. There is going to be a moment where we wish it would all end. There are many people who struggle with many, many, many things. At various points, if you ask them, how about physician-assisted suicide? Does that sound great? And we'd all say yes, right? Mm-hmm. And so that has to do more with that maybe we haven't gone through all of the stages of various things. Because what I get from the email, and of course, I feel like I'm on very soft ground here because here's a person saying, hey, I'm very logically thinking about ending my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it all sort of, look at all the ways I've tried to live life and it hasn't worked and et cetera. But here I'm telling him like, well, you're just stuck in a part of grief. So let me explain what I mean. So it doesn't sound as dodgy as I'm making it sound, but so one of the things that happens with any loss, and in particular with a loss of mobility, a loss of vision, anything that would put someone out of their former capacity and into a totally new realm where they are absolutely disadvantaged in society, because society is not built around, good services for those who need them, right? It's built around the rest of us. Until one of us becomes disabled, we really don't even get it or see it, right? Mm-hmm. So he is just staring this down all the time. And as you can tell by his writing, this is a very bright individual, someone who thinks a lot, is willing to work really hard, has, lots of great ideas, has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. But he keeps running into sort of the seeing world as like sort of a brick wall. Like he can't get back into that. He can't do the things he wants to do because those things require him to have vision in some capacity in order to sort of move ahead.
Yeah.
And so he is still fighting against the loss of his vision. He's still in the stage of maybe denial that this is it. Or maybe it's still the bargaining. He's trying to find all of these avenues of ways to still have what he has. And he's exhausted. I mean, that's mm-hmm. notable. He said that a couple of times, right? Like he's just really, really worn out. Of course.
Yeah.
But where is he, in terms of acceptance, and maybe this is where he feels like he's headed with the suicide thing. That's acceptance, like blindness. I can accept that, but I don't want to live like that. So my acceptance is dying. And that could very well be that.
Yeah.
But his acceptance as a blind person and what he has to offer the world of the blind isn't something I see him exploring here so much. Yeah. I see him just counting all the losses.
Right.
And that's so easy for everyone with eyesight to say.
Sure.
Not so easy to be your lived experience. But there may be more in life for him. He's 36. Also, by the way, I mean, I don't want to be flippant here, but 36 is just a nice beginning of a midlife crisis for anybody.
Mm.
So this might just be a whammy of one that also is a really important opportunity to figure out what you want your life to be, what the next step is. So I'm currently working with, I feel like it's 5 36-year-olds. There's quite a few of them currently who every one of them in various ways and whatever is like, what am I doing with my life? Really calculating sort of where they've been, where they want to go. It's just typical midlife stuff, like reevaluating your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the email has this sort of list of all of the efforts he makes to do particular things. And I don't know if he's stuck on certain things and needs help working through, I can only be this person. And if there is somewhere else for him to go. I mean, because that's my sense when I read it. I think, oh, you have so much life left. And I want that brain working for the blind. I want that guy who can do all the stuff he's doing to find a way to channel that in effective ways, in healing ways for himself and for others.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. We need you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like he wants to do that sort of thing. The thing holding him back from doing the podcast wasn't a disability issue. It was a finding someone to collaborate issue. And maybe, you know, at the very least, someone hearing us talking about it in the show might say, hey, I've been wanting to do something, editing, putting together a podcast. I don't want to be the guy on camera. I want to be the producer working behind the scenes and putting this together and helping collaborate with somebody. Maybe they could reach out to him, and maybe this would be the thing that kind of turns this, maybe not turns it around, but at least makes it a little bit more channeled into something productive than it is right now.
Sure.
Well, the reason why terminal illness is a part of the legal equation is that there is not life after a terminal illness. Your life ends. Mm-hmm. In his case, he has an entire life ahead of him. I mean, it's suicide. There's the difference between medically assisted suicide and this end of life decision and suicide is one is I don't want to keep living anymore like this. And the other is I don't want to suffer horribly at the very end. And I will die now while I can be conscious and see my family and loved ones and say goodbye. You know, there's a very different qualitative thing happening there. And so my big question is, he doesn't mention sort of any psychological help that he's received. He does mention that someone told him to knit. That does seem like a pretty lame idea. As far as, hey, here's a solution to your struggles. I mean, because there's a lot more here that doesn't seem to have been, like he's done so much on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess he's just probably a fairly independent person, always has been. And there's some maybe stubbornness here that is showing up, or maybe I'm totally misreading that. I have no idea. But, you know, this sort of where is his tribe? It sounds like his wife obviously is helping him. And maybe he's just kind of been independent a lot of times, and this reaching out to others for help or getting involved in ways to assist him to psychologically grow and change during all of this loss, that seems to be missing. Or am I missing the parts of the email that reflect that?
As somebody who I can relate to this in a very specific way, as somebody who 100 years ago would be blind now because of the problem I had a few years ago, I'd just be blind. That's it. Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Right.
Couldn't see anything. In fact, I'd been blind 6 years ago and would have been 100% blind since. So, in my particular case, there was a medical way to deal with it in a modern age, and that's great, and it took care of it. But I always thought about myself in a different time during that and kept thinking about, man, aren't I lucky? Imagine what this would have been like, you know, 100 years ago when there was no way to deal with this. You just became this wide-eyed weirdo, and everybody shunned you, and all you could do is rock in a chair on a porch and tell stories. Like, that was the rest of your existence. And it was a daunting thing to think about that. It was a great way to build empathy for those who deal with real, you know, with actual blindness. And it's obviously different for somebody who's born blind, let's say, or loses their eyesight at a very young age, and those who lose it when they're older. Like losing his blindness, or, you know, losing his eyesight completely by age 30, because I think he said 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Is a different emotional pile of stress balls than you lost it at age 2 in an accident, mm-hmm. and you've just never known anything else.
Right, right.
Like all yeah, of I mean, your...
He spent 5/6 of his life with sight, limited sight, but at least with some sight, and only 1/6 of it without it, completely blind.
Right. So, so he's had problems the whole time or whatever. Like, we just, Carter just found out that she has very early and kind of weird case of, we were trying to see if she was cool for LASIK because they told her to check when she was this age. They say she's got something called, hold on, keratoconus, which is basically your cornea starts to kind of cone out instead of being perfectly round. It kind of is misshapen and malformed, or at least hers is starting to be. And the extreme of that is a corneal implant, and the lighter side of that is maybe some other procedures or whatever. But it has succeeded in making her very concerned and anxious about her eyes, and I don't blame her. So I totally know the feeling. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you're older and so much of what you do depends on your eyesight, and then you're told, well, this is all going to go away, you're going to be blind by 35 or whatever, that's hard. Like, I'm really empathetic to how he feels. Would I be in his boots suicidal about it? And I know that carries a lot of weight when you say that word. I think I mean it in a more clinical way here, but would I probably not? I don't know, actually, because I'm not there.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea of it. Just thinking about 100 years ago how I would have to deal with my blindness is very anxiety inducing. Like, it's rough to think about. So I totally get it. Eyeballs, for all of the taking for granted we do for our eyeballs, man, these two little hunks of flesh are just so freaking important for human interaction, for how we move around, get around, do things. Like, there are plenty of blind people that make it work, but when that's suddenly shoved on you, I just, you know, I guess I just feel for him.
Yeah.
I get
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And the grief is the number one thing that I hear coming out of this that isn't maybe actively being dealt with. I see it as sort of trying to do a million different things to find a life that's meaningful for him, but maybe skipping over the grieving part. And that is so crucial. I mean, because he was sighted for so long, you know, there isn't probably a day that goes by that someone or something doesn't remind him of something he could have be seeing. Like, it's just someone verbally saying, oh, what a beautiful day. And you're like, maybe, you know, you could see all, you can imagine it stabbing you constantly over and over and over. And who can do that? Nobody, but humans can grieve and process and let go. And, you know, this comes in all various back and forths and ups and downs. And eventually you move through that. And there's a whole nother life on the other side. This is true of all loss. And in this very concrete, particular way, it is really hard to understand what's after this, because life was always about seeing, you know. I have a little kid knocking at the door.
Which one? Which one? Is it Peter?
Come here, Peter. I don't know why you got to knock.
Mom, the toilet's overflowing and there's something on fire.
Where do we keep the fire extinguisher? So while Wendy's dealing with this, Wolf Crane has brought up a really cool app called Be My Eyes. And it looks like it's, sadly, it looks like it's just iOS. I don't see, oh no, I take that back. It's a Google Play as well. So you can get this on Android or Mac, iOS. I downloaded it. I've installed it. And I'm doing the sign up right now, but basically it works for people with disabled vision or limited vision, blind, visually impaired. But also you can be a volunteer and answer questions. So somebody will need help right away. They'll hold up their phone to a couple of cans. I mean, the example is they're holding it up to a couple of cans and saying, which one of these is baked beans? And a volunteer with million volunteers, it looks like, currently up on this thing,
will say,
the one on the right is baked beans. And
so this is a real-time thing. I take a picture of these two cans of beans that I'm not sure about, and then you, in real time, somebody's like, yeah, I can help. Baked beans on the left or whatever.
Like, you have notifications turned on your thing. It's like, oh, I've got a few minutes. Sure. You know, and somebody pulls up a question, is this milk expired? And you can say, no, you've still got 10 days on that milk or something like that.
I wonder how trolly this, I hope nobody's a jerk.
Oh God, I hope not. Yeah. Imagine. I mean, that would be horrible.
That would suck.
That would suck.
I would kick somebody in the beans.
Let's assume that people are awesome and like us.
Yeah, let's assume they're all like us. That's pretty cool. That's called Be My Eyes, Helping the Blind on iOS and Android. Very nice.
I'm registering my address right now.
I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. This is really cool.
So thank you for that. I'm going to play like a totally different role on this call.
Sure, sure.
Which is,
sure.
I'm going to be harsh on him because no one else will. Because he's disabled.
Sure.
And that's one of the things when you're disabled that is really frustrating is everyone sort of babies you a little bit, doesn't know what to say, doesn't know how to say it. And I think, nah, you know, this isn't the option, at least not yet. You gotta grieve first, do some hard work that is emotional, and then you can make this decision. And so if he hasn't sought out someone to work through his grief with, please, please do that. Mm. I'm going to tell you three people I know really quick. One is my sister-in-law. She's 27 years old when she got a benign brain tumor. She had a 2-year-old and a 6-week-old, and they went in, said it was going to be a no biggie surgery. We'll just take it out. Well, they get in there. It's sticky. They have to scrape her brain stem. She wakes up. She can't speak. She can't move on the left side of her body. She can't walk. She can't do anything.
Yeah, I remember this.
A 6-week-old baby. Mm-hmm. And I remember pretty quickly after she told me she'd like to die. Mm. And I said, well, of course you do. Of course you do. Mm. I would too. Everyone would. But you don't get to. You don't get to yet because I know her and I know what's in her, and I wanted so badly for her who had been through what she was going through. She didn't have a choice. She was going through it anyway. To then on the other end, be the person who would help someone else. I knew it. I knew that was her. And she was like crying and like telling me to shut up. I was like, okay, sorry, but I can't do what everyone else is going to do, which is just say, oh no, life is good. You have so much to live for. No, it does suck, and you should want to die right now. That is completely understandable, mm-hmm. but it isn't your option yet. You got to figure some stuff out. So she has done 12 years of unbelievable work and rehab and learn to walk again and learn to drive a golf cart because she'll never drive an actual car, mm-hmm. And learn to write again slowly and to read again slowly, and she has joined a brain tumor group that she goes and visits people who've had brain tumors removed and gives them hope. And she's written articles, and it takes her 80 times longer than it would take me to write an article. And yet she does it, and she's happy, and she has these amazing kids that, unlike kids who, you know, the mom has to walk them to the corner, make sure they're okay, they have to walk her to the corner to make sure she's okay. Mm-hmm. And everyone is better because of it. Mm. So yeah, she wanted to die. It's understandable. Or the lady I know here in Sweden who gets this debilitating disease. She went from running marathons and CEO of this massive company in Norway to can barely steer her wheelchair with one of her fingers. And she has dedicated the rest of her life to going around and talking about how no one sees the disabled. So she has this awesome chair. She's kind of a shorter lady, and she has this awesome chair. She raises it up to full height, and she's like 6'9". Mm. It's amazing. And
cool.
Talks about and goes everywhere, every company, everyone who will listen to talk about they need to see the disabled just because they're below eye level or because you're not seeing them as customers they are. And so that's what she's going to do with that. Not to say this guy has to do something big, but man, does he have the capability? I'm listening to him. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. that he's looking maybe in places that were old and comfortable, or like he just doesn't quite know yet what the next one looks like. And I'm going to argue with him. He won't know unless he does some active grieving on the loss of his sight and finding some peace and some resolution. And then things will open up. Then things will be more clear. Maybe someone will reach out and connect with him, but he's not going to hear it or feel it or know what to do if he's still actively stuck in poor me. And of course, poor me is an important stage. Everyone should be there at some point. All of us, every one of us has been there. If we stay in it though, then I guess, you know, that's where we stay. And no one wants to be there either. So,
right.
Sorry to be harsh.
No. I don't think that's harsh. I think that's you're supposed to have all the options. Like, if that's the other thing with assisted suicide as a general concept. Like, I think I'm in for the idea of that being a personal liberty and not against the law. But I also, you know, it's kind of like there's no such thing as being pro-abortion. Nobody's pro-abortion. You might be pro-choice. Mm-hmm. That's different. It's not the same as being pro-abortion. Nobody really, really wants an abortion. What they want
nobody
is
says this should be your first choice. Your first option should be that.
Right. And even the people who want the right don't. Nobody loves doing this. It's not a thing they love doing. Right. So it's not a party time. And what I mean by all this is you should know, you should have the fullest picture possible. I think what you did there is just gave him a fuller picture. Like that, the thing with Adam's brother's wife is she's always been, I barely know her, and she's just like this source of inspiration in and around our family. And it's amazing to see. And it's important to know that when someone faces up to a thing they have and struggles against it and perseveres, it isn't just reflective on you and your strength. It permeates to everybody around you. And we're not saying it's your responsibility to do that, but it's a hell of a legacy, you know. But at the end of all of this, people are going to look back on her time and go, man, look what she pulled off. And many people like her, you know, like it's a big deal. It changes other lives around her, her kids' lives, her husband's life, everyone's life.
And it does. And what, I have to say one thing. She had a therapist. She is not a therapy kind of person. Mm-hmm. I don't need this. I'm like, are you kidding? Yes, you do. No, I don't. And then her husband finally makes her go, and the therapist is blind. Mm. And you know what that does? It's like, okay, now what's your excuse? What's this thing you were saying? You can still see. I can't. So there's sort of a benefit to that. And that might be worth looking into. Is there someone with a disability who's working as a psychotherapist in Oregon? Probably. Maybe that's a helpful thing to have. I know for her it was major to just be like, oh right, so he was also an adult when he lost his vision. Mm-hmm. And so she was able to listen to someone I don't think she was willing to listen beforehand. And so some of it is recognizing, you know, you feel so alone, you're the only one like this. Because if you look around online, you look around maybe in your immediate neighborhood, that may be true, but it's not true at all. Just today, and I could send you a link to it if you wanted to, but a friend of mine from college has Lou Gehrig's disease, and she's got 4 kids. And the minute she was diagnosed till today, where she needs assisted breathing, she has been fighting and fighting and fighting for people to pay attention to this disease. Any chance she could get. And at this point, she's like, I'm on the news. I'm letting the whole world see into my family life to show that there is technology being developed where, so she can, the infrared from the screen tracks her eyes. And if she stays on something long enough, it will open up a website or open up that article. So based on her eye movement, she can have a fairly full life online, reading, educating herself, connecting. Mm. I mean, it's very phenomenal. Cool. And here she is still doing it. And she will die soon and leave those 4 kids. Mm. But I personally know 20 people doing this. So I have a hard time going, yeah, physically healthy in every other way, 36 with a brain like yours. Yeah, maybe it's time to go. No, it's not. Like, give all of us your gifts. Mm. You know, I think there's just so much for you to offer. Mm. But you have to honor this serious loss and the pain and the sadness, and you have to let go of the loss of the relationship you would have if you could see with your wife. My brother-in-law has let go of having a relationship with a wife who can take care of herself. He let go of that. It was like he had 3 children for the last 12 years. Like he had 3 children instead of 2 children and a wife. He had to let go of that, but because he did, he was free to have a new relationship with her. And that's the thing maybe is missing. He hasn't quite figured out all of his options because he has to go through this other stuff.
Right. Well, I want to hear back from this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole topic of assisted suicide, whether it should be legal or not, or all that. We'll save that for an Unfriend Me episode one day. But as just from a personal standpoint, I hope what we covered or talked about today matters. It's just a matter of side note. I don't know if this is significant or not, but this person emailed me as a follow-up before we did today's show just to say, hey, I'm just wondering if you guys were going to do this one, or, you know, basically a show of like, oh, please, you know, I hope you guys are going to do it. Mm-hmm. That probably means he's in a state right now where, you know, he's about to make a decision.
Yeah.
And I hope everything here has at least given him more information so that whatever his decision is, it can be based on a broader perspective outside of the one that he has now. And I hope it will. So let us know.
Yeah. And if he wants to chat with me a little bit, just send me an email at therapythursdays.com and I can kick your butt a little more.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody who's wanting to work with him on a podcast, on a video podcast, you know, maybe reach out to him through us.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool. I'd love to love to see what that show's about. I mean, I know what it'd be about, but I love the idea of it. And there's lots of cool stuff like that out there, and you'd be surprised how big of an audience there is for that kind of thing. So you might find a really cool outlet there. Well, there you go. Screaming Peter aside. No, actually, I really like Screaming Peter.
Sorry, I'm
very excited to see Screaming Peter.
I said, why are you knocking? He goes, you always tell me to knock. He did this like devil voice.
Screaming Peter is my wrestling finishing move, by the way.
Yeah, when you were wrestling, you'd do the Screaming Peter. That's how you.
And that's probably the most G-rated joke I could make.
Absolutely. But I am very much looking forward to seeing all the little ragamuffins again and all that stuff. But between now and then, plenty more Therapy Thursday to be dispensed. Find Wendy on Instagram at Wendy Dunford, therapythursdays.com. You can leave messages there and hang out and do whatevs. Wendy, anything else? You got anything else to push, pimp?
No.
Express?
I don't.
All right. Well, that's fine. Doesn't always have to be that way. It's Wendy Dunford, everybody. She also has a Twitter account, but we never remember the name and all that. So take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
See you. Is it something like Therapy Thursday or something like that, where there's no, it's no vowels?
It's something. Too long or something was the deal.
I think it's Therapy Thursday without the A before the Y at the end.
Therapy Thursday.
Therapy Thursday.
I like it a lot. All right. If you want to vote for today's show title, there have been plenty chosen so far. Go to frogpants.showbot.tv and let yourselves be heard. Next week, tomorrow, we'll have a PM edition of the show. That's at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. So if you want to tune in live for that, that'd be great. For those who don't do that, you'll get it later on the feed that same day. Is that it? That's it. Let's go. Before we do, though, I don't know about you, but I like a good song in my face.
Do you? Do you like a song? A good song?
Yeah.
All right. I've got a good song. Okay. Audie wrote in and said, hey, Bunsen and Beaker. I wish I would have read that. I might have changed my song. No, it wouldn't have. I like this song. Right. My wife and I and our three boys, four-year-old twins and their two-year-old brother, are taking the first and third full weeks of June for vacations with our respective families. I was wondering, Brian, if you could come up with a fun summer traveling cover to kick off our summer travels. With our boys being young as they are, we wouldn't mind something from the Disney catalog, but we're going to totally leave it up to the maestro of cover selection.
Nice.
TMS is with me every morning in my daily commute to work, and I can't thank you guys enough for the show and all the stuff Frog Pants gives out to the world. Insert a clever TMS callback to trip Scott up from finding the clip right here. Signed, Audie. Let's just play some random clip.
All right, you ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's try this one.
Now, these sure look like phallic symbols to me. I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Cooper? Maybe you think they're ice cream cones.
That is very early. Third Eagle for us.
I love it.
Let's see.
I'll give you like ice cream cones.
I'll give you a date. That was 9/4/2011 is when I pulled that up the first time.
Wow. Yeah. First year of TMS.
Yeah. Weird. Anyway.
Holy cow. Yeah. So Audie wanted something for traveling, something Disney related. I've been a big fan of this album here that came out in 2014. And it's one of these that I put on every once in a while. And the lyrics don't distract me because they're all in French. So I can just put it on while I work. I can put it on while I'm playing video games, whatever. The album is called We Love Disney 2, as in the sequel 2, but I think they also mean it as the Look Who's Talking To kind of 2. It came out in 2014. It's a cover of the song from Disney, specifically from Mary Poppins, that you guys are going to hear when you go on the Mary Poppins ride over and over and over with your four-year-old twins and their two-year-old brother. Mm-hmm. It is called Chim Chimney.
All right, here it is. I thought when I first thought it was Chem Cheminiphany.
Sure, well, that's because it's French.
Yeah,
who knew that? Chemine.
Chemine Heminahu. All right, here it is. We'll play it, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Oh, patreon.com/DMS. And our mug's up, frogpants.com. Go check it out on the store. Boom, there it is. 1,500 episodes can be yours with your coffee in there, your tea, the whatnot, the whatever. So go check that out. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Chim chimine, chim chim chéri, pour avoir de la chance, prends ta chance telle qu'elle vient. Chim chimine, chim chimine, chim chim chéro, dans vos mains je trouve chaque fois mon étoile d'or. Un baiser aussi, c'est de la chance encore. Dans l'escalier de la vie qui est bien grand, les marches les plus basses sont pour le pauvre amoureux. Je vis ma vie les mains dans la Suisse, ça se peut, mais y a sur cette planète petit plus heureux. Chem cheminé, chem cheminé, chem chem chérie, pour avoir de la chance, prends ta chance telle qu'elle vient. Chem cheminé, chem cheminé, chem chem chéro, dans vos mains la chance met un bon numéro. Chem cheminé, chem cheminé, chem chem chérie, pour avoir de la chance, prends ta chance telle qu'elle vient. Chem cheminé, chem cheminé, chem chem chéro, dans vos mains la chance met un bon numéro. Je fais le choix de mes brosses avec soin, voyez-vous, une brosse pour ceci et une pour le tuyau. J'aime bien quand je monte là-haut parce que c'est entre les pavés et les nuages que l'on domine ce monde. Quand on est à mi-chemin du jour et de la nuit, à l'heure où chaque chose baigne dans la demi-clarté. Sur les hauts toits de Londres, quelle beauté. Chem cheminé, chem cheminé, chem chem chérie, joyeux mes bohèmes, voilà les ramoneurs. Nulle part ailleurs on ne voit un petit plus heureux, ces braves gens qui chantent chem chérie, chem chéro. Chem cheminé, chem cheminé, chem chem chérie, joyeux mes bohèmes, voilà les ramoneurs. Nulle part ailleurs on voit-il plus heureux, ces braves gens qui chantent chem chérie, chem chéro. Chem cheminé, chem chem chérie, chem chéro.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
How repulsive.